get folks, I know this is a question I know the answer to. Some of you are doing exams. Who's doing exams? Not stand up, would you please stand up and do exams? Emily, I'm going to say stand up, come on. You're the one that said you were stressed. Can we just pray for these folks, our little folks, and they've got GCSEs and stuff. Lord, we lift up your name, our brave folks, and we say thank you for it. We pray that you will bless them. We pray that you'll give them, Lord, the ability to work and revise and do what they need to do. And give them success, we pray. Give them confidence in you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brilliant. Thank you very much. I just so you know, Judith this morning is at Bishop Andrew's church, just round the corner. Kevin Lewis, the vicar there, it's his last Sunday. He's moving off the estate, going to Carshall Beaches. I call that demotion. But I'm biased. But Judith has gone there to represent Horizon, so that's why she's not here this morning. I was in a traffic queue once. Not only many times I've been in a traffic queue. But there were two rows of traffic, and there was this big white van in front of me, and I was stationary. And it was just before Christmas, and I couldn't see past this big white van. And there was a car in front of me, and a car in front of the van, and I was there. And the car in front moved up, because we were at a junction, and I moved up. And from behind the white van appeared a girl on her mobile phone. And she walked straight in front of my car. I wasn't going fast. I put the brakes on, I hit her, and she disappeared. Then she got up again. She wasn't looking where she was going. The police came, the ambulance came. This was 10 years ago. I had to do a breathalyzer. I thought, I hope nobody from the show sees me doing a breathalyzer. I passed. Just want you to know that. And the girl was very good about it. She said, I'm really sorry, it was totally my fault. She just appeared from the van and was just doing this. She didn't look where she was going. And that's a bit of an introduction to what I want to talk about this morning. It's really important that we look where we're going. Because if we don't look where we're going, we probably won't go in the right direction. And we don't know what unexpected things might come and divert us from the path that I believe God's got for each one of us. I'm going to read to you some verses from Genesis. And these are really weird verses. It's about a man called Jacob, who many of you will have heard. He's Abraham's grandson. And he had quite an interesting life. And there's a bit I just want to read. It's not that bit, actually. Not yet. It's just a general reading I want to do. What I'm going to show you up there is going to put it into context. But it's from Genesis 30. And from verse 25. Let me just say that Jacob had been working for his uncle, a fellow called Laban, and married his daughters and had children. And it says, after Rachel gave birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me on my way so I can go back to my own home there. Give me my wife and children who I would serve you for, and I will be on my way. And he said, can you let me go, please? And in verse 32, he says, let me go. What he says, but Laban said to him, if I found favour in your eyes, please stay, because I know that the Lord's blessed you. Name your wages, and I'll pay them. Then Jacob said to him, you know how I've worked for you, and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I've been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? What shall I give you, he asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you do this thing for me, I'll go on tending your flocks and watch another. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from them, now get this, every speckled or spotty every dark-coloured lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. Let me take them out of your flocks. They will be my wages, and my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check the wages you paid me, any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that's not dark-coloured, will be considered stolen. This gets really weird. I want you to know this. Pick out the spotted and speckled sheep and goat. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, and while Jacob continued to tend the rest of his flocks, Jacob, however, took fresh-cut branches from poplar and almond and plane trees. He made white stripes on them by peeling the bark and exposing the white inner wood on the branches. Didn't learn how to agriculture. Then he placed the peeled branches in all the watering troughs so that they would be directly in front of the flocks when they came to drink. When the flocks came to drink, they made it in front of the branches. And when they made it in front of the branches, it says that they bore young that was streaked and speckled and spotted. How big is that? Jacob set apart the young flock of the flock for himself, by themselves, and he made the rest face the streaked and dark-coloured animals belong to him. Okay? But he made separate flocks for himself and for his own. Basically, the streaked and speckled goats and lambs grew and became strong. And the ones that belonged to Laban that he was looking afterwards didn't. And when I read that once, I thought, what on earth is all that about? He gets some branches, he puts them in a water trough, they got strips of bark off them, the sheep come and drink, they mate, and then the babies have got streaks and spots and speckles on them. Well, I want to try and explain that a little bit today, because although that sounds weird, there's a really important principle in this that I think will help us. Jacob was quite a rascal. He really was. And it's encouraging to know that God uses and works through the most surprising, unlikely people. People who are undeserving and at times dishonest. Yet God does remarkable work of grace in all people. And Jacob is one of them. Jacob, his name, what a name. His name means supplanter. One who illegally or wrongfully seizes or holds the place of another. When he was born, it's a weird thing, he was one of the twins. And when his brother Esau was born, he reached out from inside his mum and grabbed the heel of his brother. And they took that as a sign that he's going to be trouble for his brother. He's hanging on to something. And so they called him the supplanter. He was the second to come out, but they called him Jacob. In his life, he grew into his name. Two things about Jacob. The first thing he did was he took his older brother's birthright. Now, the older brother always had the birthright, always inherited from the family the most stuff. But Jacob, when his brother came in from hunting, he told him, he said, look, I want your birthright. But his brother said, give me some of that stew, because he was really hungry. And his brother said, well, I'll give it to you. But first, sell me your birthright. You know, in verse 30 of Genesis 25, he said, quick, let me have some of that stew. I'm famished. And Jacob, in verse 31, says, first, sell me your birthright. And so he agreed. And it says there that Esau despised his birthright. Can you say, he was desperate for food. And I want to say to you, let's be careful that we don't do things for short-term gain that rob us of God's blessings for the future. Because although Jacob tricked him out of his birthright, Esau despised his birthright, and so he really was to blame. Then later, as a result of that, he stole his brother's blessing. You see, fathers blessed their children and spoke a blessing upon them, and those things came to pass. Esau went, was called to his dad before he died, and his father wanted to bless him. Now, if you know anything about Esau, tell me what's the difference between Esau and Jacob. Esau was a hairy man, and Jacob was a smooth man. A smooth operator, yeah, absolutely. And so him and his mother contrived this trick to go to his father, who couldn't see or wasn't, you know, really getting old and he wasn't aware. And he put goatskins on his arms. And he felt his arms, and, you know, you sound like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. Though you must be Esau. You couldn't make this up, could you? Honestly. And he fooled his dad and he blessed him. And then his brother came in and he said, "Sorry, mate, I've already blessed him." "Who?" "Your brother. He tricked me." But you know, it all came about from the fact that Jacob was a crook, a supplanter, and that's what he did to his brother. The thing is, though, because of that, he had to run for it, because his brother was not well pleased. Wonder why. And he went to live with his uncle called Laban. And Laban took advantage of Jacob and he swindled him left, right, and centre. Do you know there is a principle called reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping? What you sow is what you reap. He had tricked people in that way, of tricking them and doing this, that, and the other. And then he went to his uncle and he fell in love with Rachel. Great name. And he wanted to marry Rachel, and so he had to work 7 years for her. And so he was given Rachel as his wife. And then the wedding night came along, and it must have been really dark, because in the morning her sister was there. "I told you you couldn't make this up." How did he know? I'm puzzled. But he pretended to be his brother. And the wife that he just married was a sister. What you sow is what you reap. And he was picking up on all the crooked things he'd done, and his brother and his father-in-law said, "I'm sorry about that, slip up there." Slight error. "No, actually, she's the older one, so she should get married first. But I've worked 7 years for her. Well, you can have Rachel as well, but you've got to work another 7 years. How just was that? You know, he had a past. He had a history. He had a life that, as I say, some of it he just couldn't make up. And a few things I just want to say this morning about Jacob in the context of all that he'd done is this, and it applies to us as well, that we have a past. We have a history, every single one of us. Jacob, I guess, was a victim of his birth. They called him Jacob and labelled him with the name that you're a supplanter, you're a crook. And he lived according to his name. Every single one of us are victims of, the produce of, things that have happened in the past. Good things happened in our past. Bad things happened in our past. But we are a result of what's gone on before, am I right? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even financially, in every way. And you know, we can look back to our past, and I've got to admit to you, there are things in my past that I can remember that I really regret. I wish I'd done that better. I wish that hadn't happened to me. I wish. And do you know that there's not a thing I can do about it? Some people blame their birth. And let's be honest, if you're born in the United Kingdom, you have got quite a head start on a lot of countries where people are born in poverty in the world. When people moan about how poor we are, I understand that. But I just want you to know that on a world scale, every single one of us is a millionaire. Am I right? We've got clothes, we've got food, we've got somewhere to live. We are blessed materially, okay? But people are born in different circumstances and are a result of that, and that can lead to good things and bad things. We've got no control of who we're related to. Have you read it? No. And Jacob had a past. But on the journey, he met with God, or shall I say, God with him in Genesis 28. He had a dream one day. He saw a stairway resting on the earth and reaching up to heaven. And the Lord saw it. And the Lord said, I'm the Lord, God your father, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Now, he went on to say other things, but basically, Jacob had a meeting with God that overruled, that changed, that revolutionized his life. Everything from his past had a new context, because it was in the context of meeting with God and for the blessings that he actually didn't really deserve. All those blessings came to pass upon him as he went on from that moment. Do you know, God blesses, and God blessed Jacob after all he'd done. God blessed him. Who thinks that's fair? Who thinks he deserved it? Because I know I jolly well don't think he deserved it. He was dishonest. He was corrupt. He was a crook. Do you know, I would not buy a car off that man. But he got no engine in it. And yet, God met with him and blessed him. And I think it's totally unfair and wrong. Because he doesn't deserve it. Who has been blessed by God in this place? Every single one of us who knows Jesus. And I want you to know that none of you deserve it. It's totally wrong. But the grace of God meets us and changes us and puts our future in a new context and points us in a new direction. Oh, I'm not as bad as Jacob. How do you know? You might be worse. It doesn't matter. None of us are as good as God. But God looks over those things and paid the price for the things that we've done wrong by sending Jesus to die for us, so that we are no longer dependent on our past, because we're given a new position. A new position. There's two things about the Christian walk. We have a position and we have a walk. Our position is this. It's an unchanged thing. The position that we have in Jesus is that we're blessed, we're accepted, we're forgiven, we're valued, we're new creations in Christ. One of those songs that we sang was, in him we find belonging. You see, we are given a new position in Jesus. Jacob was given the position of one who had received the blessings from God in his life, despite him being dishonest. And you know, what God wants to do in our lives, when we give our lives to Jesus, our position is set and it never changes. You are forgiven. And nothing can take you from the hand of Jesus. He has you, and you are forgiven. Isn't that good to know? That never changes in a sense. It's how God sees us despite ourselves. But we also have a walk. We've got a position and we've got a walk. And our Christian life is a journey. Jacob went on a journey. He left his past behind, he met with God, and then he moved on from there. And our journey is something that really is important. Our lives are a journey. Our Christian faith is a journey. Psalm 40, verse 2, David, King David, wrote this. He says this. He said, basically what he says, you've given me a new position and you've given me the ability to move on. He says in Psalm 40, verse 2, that God lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. I was going nowhere. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a safe place to stand. Now in the Amplified Bible it says this, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. In the New Living Translation, it says, he steadied me as I walked along. And that picture is this. We're stuck in the mud. We're sinking in the mire. God lifts us up, puts us on hard ground, and he enables us to make a journey and to move on and leave the rubbish of the past behind us. Isn't that a great thing? That's what he did. You know, the walk that we have, the journey we have, has its ups and downs, it has progress, it has growth, it has setbacks. And Jacob, largely through his own fault, had a tough life by living on his wits, ducking and diving, conning people. He was often troubled, and he had a hard life. But the thing is this, that God never left him. Never left him. Now, in that reading I brought to you right at the beginning, is that story account of those branches with the bark being peeled, put in front of the mating livestock, so that the strong animals that were put in front of those branches that were streaked were born streaked and speckled and spotted. Like I said earlier, you wouldn't learn that in an agricultural village. This is pioneering gene therapy, or gene, whatever it is. This is way before Dolly the sheep, I'll tell you. They put these animals in front of these branches and they produced streaked and spotted offspring, which were his property. Do you know, I love this account, because finally, Jacob, having worked all those years, initially for the wrong bride and then for the right one, was now building resources for his future. And when I read this, I say two things. I say that account is ridiculous. Now, what's it all about? Streets and branches. I want you to know this, that this is a very lesson in faith on looking ahead to where you're going by faith and seeing God move on your behalf in a supernatural way. And I believe that Jacob, with all his faults, began to operate in the thing that without which it's impossible to please God, and that is faith. He started looking in the right direction and believing for God to bless him. Like I said, it's not an agricultural principle, but I believe there is a spiritual principle here. He was operating in a spiritual realm of faith. The branches, if you were a statement of faith. I know that I'm going to have to streak animals. And so therefore, when those animals are at the mating time, I'm going to put in front of them a statement of faith that says that they are going to be streaked and speckled and spotted. And they're going to be. He actually put, if you like, a statement of faith right in front of you. The branches were the statement of faith, and it brought about a change in his fortunes and his circumstances. It says in the Bible that his flocks and his wealth grew. Every time one of those sheep or goats had a streaked or speckled baby, it was reproducing faith. Reproducing faith. And our actions and our faith can have a multiplying effect, because if we believe God for one thing, it can inspire others to believe God for things. It can inspire us to believe God for more things. And we can reproduce faith that makes a whole difference. You know, we are called to look beyond our circumstances while God is at work in us, and to operate in faith where God works. And so I encourage you this morning to trust God to be the answer to your situation. Despite how hopeless it might feel or seem, make a statement of faith Pray into that and see what God can do. I think this works. Now in Matthew 21, Jesus said this, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree that withered and became, but you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Who's ever prayed for a mountain to go into the sea? Neither have I. Don't bother. Because this is not talking about geological earthquakes and Mount Everest ended up in the Pacific. This mountain is a figurative thing that speaks about the things in your life that are so good, that are so immovable, that are so great, that you've got no answer to, and that none at all. And Jesus is saying is this, you can say to this mountain, if you pray in faith, be moved, and it will go. It's not always immediate. But I do believe with all my heart that God wants us to reproduce and grow in our faith, that if we can see the things that pull us down, that hold us back, that are there in front of us, that can't get round, He wants us to see those things change. You see, faith comes by looking at God and not the mountain. If you look at the mountain, you'll never move it. You'll never move it. If you look at your situation, forget it, because it will just glare back at you and bear down on it. But what we're called to do is look to Jesus in that. There's those 12 spies that went into the promised land, and they came back with a report of what the land was like, the land that God had promised to his people. 10 of them said, two of them came back and said, you know, it's fantastic, that place. It's ours for the taking. God has promised it to us, and yeah, great. 10 of them came back and they said, you should see the size of the people there. They're huge, they've got fortified cities, they've got nuclear weapons, they've got aircraft, they've got everything. They've got that, you know. We don't stand, they don't stand, we don't stand a chance. We're hopeless. And the people listened to the people who looked at the circumstances, not the people who looked to God, who was greater than that. When Goliath came out to the armies of Israel and he shouted at them, there's this great big giant, he was like a mountain. And he came out to the army of Israel and he shouted at them and he intimidated them and they looked at him and they ran for him. When David came out, all naive, he went to the battlefront to take some psalms to his brothers. Who's this fella? He didn't go out there looking how big he was, he went out there looking how big group and great God was. Look to him and the mountain will move. Look to the situation and it never will. You know, when Jesus was crucified, in the context of the people who saw it happen, and the fact that he was buried in a tomb, it was the biggest disaster that had ever happened. This Jesus that was going to change the world has gone. They were looking at the situation. But what they didn't do was look to the God who put him in the tomb and he caused him to rise again. We only get a bit of the picture sometimes. And Jacob and his sheep, he didn't look to the problem. He looked at the potential, and he put those branches there, and they reproduced those speckled sheep, and it was so. The first thing is faith comes by looking at God, not the mountain. The second thing is he gives us faith as we walk by his side. The journey and the walk will teach us and change us. Jacob went through it, he really did. But he learned to focus his faith, finally, on God. A lot of other things happen in his life, but we haven't got the time to look at those today. But let's beware of wandering and being diverted by the things that can come at us. Let's walk consistently with Jesus. Let's spend time in his presence. Let's meet up and fellowship with one another consistently. It's really important. Let's build our faith. And as we do that, and as we encourage one another, and as we walk with him, our faith will grow. Our journey of mistakes and lessons will help us to grow into our true position as sons and daughters of the living God. You know, in Romans 8:28, it says this, that we know that in all things God is at work for the good of those who love him. Can you just say that? In all things. God is at work. In all things.
In all things.
God is at work. For the good. For the good. Of those who love him. Who loves him. Yeah. So, in all things, whatever's coming in your life, whatever mountains are there, God is at work for the good of you. It's not saying that everything's going to be pink and fluffy and shiny and nerdy and wonderful, but God is working for our good. God is moving mountains on our behalf. God is producing speckled sheep as we put those branches there and determined to believe upon him. You see, God met with him and caused him to walk in a new direction and in a new way. Jacob, the supplanter, had his name changed. Anyone know what his name was changed to?
Israel.
Anyone know what Israel means? It means something like prince, or where's the other bit? One who triumphs with God. I like that, don't you? Names are really important in the Bible. Jacob lost his supplanter bit and became one who triumphs with God. And that's what God does in our lives. His walk eventually led him to his destiny. So, we have a past. It's where we've been. I dare say that some of us, maybe all of us, aren't particularly proud of our past, so much mentally. Do you know, there's no condemnation to you at all. People who come to me and say, do you know, we welcome Jacob into our church, don't we? We want to sort him out, but we welcome him in. We want Jacob to come through these doors and become Israelites. We want people with past to find a new position in Jesus and find a new future and a new purpose in their lives. So we've had a past. It's where we've been. But it's not where God wants us to stay. Jesus gives a position of grace. And like I said before, we don't deserve it any more than Jacob did. But we also have a walk by faith. And that walk by faith, A.W. Tozer said that faith is the gaze of the heart upon God. And our walk by faith enables us to look where we are going and know that the way we're going is the right way. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Let's be a people who reproduce and live faith to put God's promises there before us and to see those things grow and be produced in our lives. Let's believe that God wants to use our lives, our church, to reproduce faith in our community. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father God, thank you so much that you took a man like Jacob. In the Bible, a lot of the time, he didn't really work through nice people. He did it through people that weren't necessarily wanting to know. So there was hope for each of us. Father God, I want to pray. will be moved in situations. You know, I feel perhaps there are folks who are living in the past, in past guilt, past hurts, that the past circumstances are bearing down on you like a mountain trying to fall. Father, I want to pray that the things of the past will be dealt with through faith. As we put in front of our eyes the things that stimulate faith and then reproduce that in our experience. Help us to grow into the future that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take a seat. So just to finish with, see a gentle sheep. Big foul thing. That's what he did, or what his work for. Something like that. Do you know, there is some sheep and goats that you're going to produce that are going to unlock that because God is working in your life. Have a great week and God bless you.